Okay, today we're going to do Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph of Masechta Sota. We're holding on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and we're in the middle of talking about Kalev and Miriam and how they married each other. So the pasuk says Ve'ele Baneha, and these were her sons, Yeshar and Shovav and Adron. So the Gemara says Al Tikri Baneha Ela Boneha. It doesn't mean her sons; it means her husband that built her through marriage and the through having children that she was able to build up a whole house together with him. Just like other women are able to build up a house through having a husband. So these three names are all actually the names of her husband. It's not her children. Yesher is all, they're all a reference to Kalev. Yesher, she Yesher is Atzmo, that he managed to fortify himself and stand up straight and not give in to the Eitzah of the Meraglim. This was Kalev we're talking about. Shovav, Sheshibe Visitro, that he overpowered his Yetzer Hara. Ardon, Sherodah Es Yitzro, that he ruled over his Yetzer Hara, not to follow the Meraglim. So they're all names that refer to Kalev's ability to overcome the Meraglim. V'kadamri al shei paneh domin leverid. And some say Ardon is actually a reference to Miriam herself, that her face was like a verid, it was like a rose. The pasuk goes on to say la'ashkor avitkoa hayushtei nashim chala v'nara, that Ashkor, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, chala and nara. So the Gemara explains, Ashkor is a Kalev. Lama nekrishmo Ashkor. Ashkor is Kalev. Why is he called Ashkor? Shehushcharu panav betainios, that his face was blackened by the fasts that he took upon himself not to stumble with the Atzas Meraglim. Avi shenasala ka'av, and Avi is because he became like a father to Miriam to take care of her and nurse her back to health and take care of whatever food she needed because she was a sickly person. Tekoa shetaka es liba la'av shebashamayim. Tekoa is that he was a very faithful servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he didn't follow the Meraglim. Hayu shtei nashim, he only really had one wife. Why did it say he had two wives? Nasim Miriam kishtei nashim. Miriam became like two wives. Chola v'nara, lo chola v'nara havai, ela b'tchila chola, that initially she was ill, and then b'sof nara, then ultimately she went back, it's like she found a fountain of youth, and she became youthful and energetic again, and beautiful again, so it was as if he had these two wives. So uvnei chola, Tzeres v'tzawar v'esnon. So the Gemara dashes the pasuk that these are not the sons of Miriam, but rather when she when she got healthy, when she got older, so tzaras shenasis tzara l'chavroseha, other people became jealous of her beauty. Tzohar shayu paneh domin ketzarayim, her face shone like the midday sun. And esnon shekolaroso molch esnon leishto, that anyone who saw her would become so aroused that he would start buying his wife gifts in order to be able to seduce his wife. So that was the effect that she had on people. Vayitzav paro l'chalam. So I guess main point number one is finishing up the story with Miriam and Kalev. How Miriam initially was very ill, and Kalev married her, and she was nursed back to health, and she became this incredibly beautiful person, beautiful woman. Vayitzav Paro l'chol amo. The pasuk goes on to say that Paro told his entire nation that any boy that's born should be thrown into the Yaor, and any girl that's born should live. So Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Af al amo gazar. He made this gezeira even on his own people. Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Shalosh gezeros gazar. Paro actually made three different gezeros. Batchila im bein hu vamiteno. So the initial gezero was that if it's a baby boy, you should kill the baby boy. And he assumed that the mialdos would fulfill that gezero. Lubesof. But then kola bein hayolod hayora tashlichuhu. Any baby that's born even amongst his nation should be thrown into the. Any baby that's born to the Jewish people, since he saw that the mialdos weren't doing the job, has to be thrown into the water. And then the third level gzera was to make it even against his own people. But the pasuk tells us a man went from the house of Levi and took a bas Levi. Where did this man go? It means he followed his daughter's advice. Tana Amram gadol ador haya. Amram was the gadol ador. He was the most important person in the Jewish people. Once Paro Pharaoh made this terrible decree that any baby that's born has to be thrown into the Ya'ar, Amar Lashavan Ramelin. He said, we're doing this for nothing to have children. Amar Vigirish Hishto, meaning what, we're going to have children just to watch them die? So he divorced his wife when Pharaoh made that Kaseira. So the entire Jewish people saw that that's what the God of Adar did. Amdu Kulan Vigirish was Nosra saying. So they all divorced their wives. Amar Lobito, so his daughter said to him, Abba, Kasha Gzeroscha Yoser Mishal Paro, your Gzeira is even more difficult than Paro's Gzeira. She Paro lo gazar ala azcharim. Paro only made a Gzeira against the males. Va'ata gzarta ala azcharim v'ala nekevos. You're making a Gzeira against the males and the females, because now that there are no men, the women have no one to marry. And not only that, Paro lo gazar, not that there's a women, Paro made a Gzeira that the boys should be killed. You're making a Gzeira that the girls should never be born, because everyone's getting rid of their wives. Paro lo gazar ala balamazeh. Paro only made a Gzeira in this world that they're going to have to be born and die in this world. But va'ata bolamaze ulam abba, you're making it that these neshamas never even come into this world at all. So it's an olam habadik gzera you're making. Paro harasha suffik miskayamas gzeras suffik ena miskayamas. Paro is an evil person. There's a suffik whether his gzera is going to be fulfilled. But ata tzadik, you're a tzadik bevaday shegzeras miskayamas. When you make a gzera, it's for sure going to be fulfilled. Shenemar v'tig zarom avayakam lach. So these were the arguments that Miriam made, that the decision to separate from one's wife is a terrible decision because it affects boys and girls, it affects even Olam Haba, and it's definitely going to be an effective Gezerah. Amar v'hechzir sishto. So Amram was convinced and he remarried his wife, and everyone saw that the God of Adar remarried his wife. Amdu kulan v'hechziros nosh sayin. They all remarried their wives. Vayikach, so it says that he took a bas Levi v'yachzor mibayle. Why is it vayikach? As if it was a first marriage, it should say v'yachzor. He remarried his wife. So Amar v'yidu barzvina sha'asalo maisa likuchin. He made like a big wedding as if it were a first marriage. Hoshiva ba'aparyon. She went under a chuppah with these nice decorations. Va'aron and Miriam rocked in the fana, and Aaron and Miriam danced in front of her. U'malachi hasharis amru eim habanim smecha. And the malachi hasharis were saying eim habanim smecha. As bas Levi, so who did he marry? This bas Levi. After bas meo shloshim shana havya v'kari la bas, Yocheved at this point in time was 130 years old. You call that a bas, like a young lady? Dam Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina says, Zui Yocheved sharasa b'derech v'leidasa ben achomos. Remember when Yocheved was born, she was born on the way into Mitzrayim. Shneemar, asher yoldo osa lelevi b'mitzrayim, leidasa b'mitzrayim, v'enorasa b'mitzrayim, because the pasuk says she was born to Levi in Mitzrayim, which implies that she was not conceived in Mitzrayim, just born in Mitzrayim. So she was from that generation, from the very first people, Jewish people that were born in Mitzrayim. So she was very old at this stage in the game. Amar Yehuda shenold basimaninar. She's still called a bas because she became youthful again. Vatari shavateledain. She became pregnant. She had a son. Vahavas miabru batlasi yarchi meikara. But wasn't she already pregnant with Moshe for 3 months before they got remarried, meaning before the divorce? She was already pregnant. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Brzevina. Makish leidasa laharasa. We are linking the birth with the conception. Mahorasa shalobitzar. Just like when one conceives, it doesn't come with any amount of pain. Af leidasa shalobitzar. So we're saying that the birthing process of Moshe Rabbeinu didn't involve any tsar leida. Mikan lenashim tzidkanios shalohayu bepitka shalchava. So you see that there are certain nashim tzidkanios that don't suffer from the curse of chava, to suffer from a painful childbirth. Vatero so kitov. Moshe Rabbeinu was born and she sees that he is good. So the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Tov Shemo. His name is actually Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tovia Shemo. His name is Tovia. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Hagun Lenevius. That she saw that he was going to be one who's destined, or at least primed for Nevuah. Acherim Omerim, Nolad Kishu Mahl. That what does it mean that he was Tov? That he was born with a bris. V'cham Omer B'shosh Nolad Moshe, Nisna Mitmalei Habayis Kulo Or. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house filled with light. Ksiv Hachavateros Kitov Hu Ksiv Hasam Ve'er Alkimis Or Kitov. You know what else is described as Tov? Or is described as Tov. So when it describes Moshe as Tov, it must be that the house filled with light. So we have like these six different interpretations of what Tov means. Either his name is Tov, his name is Tovia, he was destined for Nevius, he was born Mahul, he was... or the whole house filled with light. So five different explanations. Vatitzpeneu shloshi irachim, and she hid him for 3 months. Delo manu mitzrayim el mishada hadra viavas miabra beitlasi yarchim yekara. She was able to hide him for 3 months after he was born because the mitzrayim were only counting from when Amram remarried Yocheved, but they didn't realize that she was already 3 months pregnant at that time. Velo yachla od hitzvino. She was no longer able to hide him. Amai, why couldn't she hide him anymore? Every day, so keep on hiding. Whenever the Mitzrayim would hear that there was a baby born, mamtu yunukas, and they would bring another baby there, so that the baby in hiding would hear the other crying baby, ma'avi, and then he would likewise cry. So what did she do? She took a little box. So maishna goma. Why was the box made out of gold? You see from here that tzaddikim value their money a great deal, even more than their physical well-being. So that's why it was a tevas goma, which is very soft and will protect the body less than a tevas eitz would have done, because it's a harder wood. So goma, which is a softer wood, it was made out of like reeds, it wasn't going to protect the baby that much. But kol kach lama, why do they care so much more about their money, about the expense of the box, than protecting the baby? Because every penny that a tzaddik earns is earned honestly. And when one earns something honestly, they value it a great deal. The reason they used a soft basket was not because they were going cheap. They used a soft basket is because if you have a hard basket and it hits a rock, the basket could crack. But you have a soft basket, it's more elastic, it will bounce right off, and it's not going to be damaged by whatever it hits. And she lines it with chemer and zephas. The chemer was on the inside of the box, and zephas on the outside of the box. So the tzaddik, the baby, shouldn't smell the awful smell of zephas. And she puts the baby inside, and she puts him by the reeds, by the edge of the water. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Yamsuf, that she put him in the Yamsuf. Shmuel ben Achmeni says Agam, that she put him in an Agam, in a swamp by the edge where the water stands still, and there are like these reeds that grow there. And a raya to that is Kidchsev Kana Vasuf Kamelu, that it says Kana Vasuf Kamelu, and that's a reference to these like these reeds that grow in that area. So Bez Hashem will continue from there, from the very top of Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis next time.